A famous quote by actually an unknown author goes like this. Patience is the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. Now, waiting with patience while maintaining a good attitude is something that proves difficult for most of us. It's our nature, in our human nature, to want things now. I want it now, not to wait. But it does seem, though, in life, that patience is truly the hardest when we need it the most. But it is, patience is, one of the major keys to achieve our goals and to keep focused on the future. We have an example, a biblical example, of a patriarch who kept his vision, his focus, in spite of the fact that he had to wait. Turn with me, please, to begin the message today to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. And we'll take a look at this patriarch that we actually examined in the Genesis Bible study series. He kept his vision, but he had to wait. Hebrews chapter 11, and let's actually begin in verse number 1. Verse number 1 defines what faith is, the definition of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's the definition of faith. Now let's drop down to verse number 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not going where he was going. We talked about that, Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. God called Abraham to come out away from his family, out of his country, and to go to a place that I will show you. And Abraham obeyed completely, made that 1,000-mile journey to a place that he'd never seen before, in faith. Verse number 9. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So verse number 9 is telling us that he dwelt as a foreigner, dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents, temporary dwellings, not fully occupying the land. And we learned in the Bible study series in Genesis that Abraham spent most of his time on the extreme southern edge of the promised land, on the edge of the wilderness. And we also learned when we were studying Genesis that he went through trials, many trials and hardships during that time. Some of the trials that we talked about. The famine in the land, such a severe famine that he had to flee to Egypt. And then when he went to Egypt, Pharaoh desired his wife. Quite the trial. Also, there was strife between his herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. They were both very, very rich men. And there was strife between their servants. And they ended up having to separate. Another trial. Then we find out that the kings of the east captured his nephew Lot, Abraham's nephew. And Abraham had to go after him and liberate him. And also, the terrible family conflict between Sarah and Hagar, just to mention a few of the trials that Abraham went through. And we see in Genesis that Abraham was given by God great and tremendous promises. And yet, he had to wait for the fulfillment of them. The last part of verse number 9 talks about the heirs with him of the same promise. And those promises of the promised land, Abraham never did inherit. He never did fully occupy the land. It was his descendants, his heirs, that occupied the promised land. The only thing that Abraham owned was a burial plot in the land of Canaan. Verse number 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He waited patiently and confidently. And Abraham had vision. He had the vision of the city with eternal foundations. And even though he did not occupy the promised land, he had the vision of the future and had faith and looked forward to that. A disciple of Christ, you and I, also must see Abraham's example of faith and wait patiently. And that's hard for us to do when we're faced with trials, tribulations, problems and tests, whatever they might be. Ecclesiastes. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, the book right after after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And let's examine verses 8 and 9. The title of this section is The Value of Practical Wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And notice verse number 8. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Notice it says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Talking about a beginning on one side, and then you have an end on the other side. And in between the beginning and the end can be a long wait that requires patience. So this particular verse in Ecclesiastes 7 is talking about the end being far better than the beginning and patiently waiting for the end. And the results are far much better. Verse number 9. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. The first part of verse number 9 could be translated, keep yourself under control. In other words, the point of this particular section of scripture is, don't lose your patience. Don't lose your patience. The prudent person is patient and exercises self-control. I like what the Life Application Study Bible adds to these two scriptures. It says this, to finish what we start takes hard work, wise guidance, self-discipline, and patience. The title of today's message is Developing Patience in Our Lives. Developing Patience in Our Lives. Today, let's examine the subject of patience. We must understand what patience is and also who the source of patience is in order to develop it in our lives. We must understand what patience is and who the source of it is in order to develop and practice it in our lives. This message today, and the reason why I chose this particular message, actually ties in with the Bible study that we'll be going through later on today. We're going to see in the Bible study that Moses needed to learn patience. He needed to learn patience. We come to the last part of chapter 5, and we'll get there eventually in the Bible study, where Pharaoh told the Israelites that they were going to have to gather stubble instead of straw to make the bricks. And then the children of Israel blame Moses for that. And then Moses turns around and says, why, God, are you bringing this upon me? I'm paraphrasing now in my own words. Why are you bringing this upon me? And you still haven't delivered the children of Israel. And yet God was about to deliver the children of Israel. Moses needed to develop patience. So it ties in with the Bible study today. And we'll talk about that more. 2 Thessalonians, the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. And let's look at verses 1 through 4. Let's look at an encouraging example of brethren from the church in the city of Thessalonica. They were being troubled by others. There were those that had false ideas, wrong teaching, and they were troubling them. And yet, the Thessalonians handled it very, very well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then notice how Paul addresses them in verse number 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. What great words to say from an apostle to the brethren of the church. Fantastic words. Verse number 4. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God. And why does he boast to other churches about them? For your patience and faith. And why? In all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. The apostle Paul boasted of their patience and faith because they're going through all kinds of hardships and trials. He praised them for their patience and faith in the face of trials and persecution. A huge compliment. And notice the last part of the last word in verse number 4, that you endure. That you endure. And that word, endure, is key when we're talking about patience. Verse number 5, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Counted worthy of the kingdom of God because they endured the trials and the tribulations that they were going through. Again, a quote from the Life Application Study Bible, which fits in with this section of Scripture. It says this: the keys to surviving persecution and trials are patience and faith. When we are faced with crushing troubles, we can have faith that God is using our trial for our good and for His glory. For our good and His glory. The reason why we go through troubles. And a lot of us do go through trials. I talk to a lot of you as a minister, and I know some of the things that you go through. Problems with perhaps your job, your family, and even more with an aging congregation, health problems that many of you are going through. But we have to keep that vision as Abraham. Look forward to something with eternal foundations and have patience. Let's take a few moments now and define this, our English word patience. Our English word patience comes from a Greek word, hupomone. I'll spell this for you, for some of you that are taking notes. It's H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E, hupomone. And this word means literally to abide under, steadfastness, and constancy. To be able to abide, to be steadfast and constant. And it's also translated, this Greek word, hupomone, to our English words, persevere and endure. Again, just like the Apostle Paul says, boasting about the brethren in the Thessalonian brethren, in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Very, very key. Enduring, persevering is part of patience. This is such an excellent quality. And patience has a background of courage. A background of courage. Courage to go forward, even though you're faced with whatever trial it is. Let's examine some more scriptures. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now the context of this particular chapter is love. In fact, this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, is known as the love chapter. But we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 7, because this verse sums up what patience is. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 7. bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Right there, verse number 7 is a pretty good biblical definition of what patience is. In fact, the word endures comes from a Greek word that's akin to hupomone. Very, very similar terms. The phrase endures all things that the Apostle Paul is writing here has the meaning of triumphant fortitude, to go on and conquer, to go on and conquer. You're going through a trial, whatever it might be, you don't let it get you down. You go forward and you conquer. Notice the words, bears, believes, hopes, endures. That's patience. James chapter 1, the book of James. James actually writes quite a bit about patience in his book. James chapter 1, because patience helps a person in the development of Christian character. James chapter 1, and let's take a look at verses 3 and 4. James chapter 3, let's pick it up actually at verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And that's hard for us to do as human beings. When we're going through trials, we don't count it as joy. Not at all. We want to get out from underneath what we're going through. Here's the reason why, verse number 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, if you've got a marginal reference like my Bible does, I've got a little number 1 here by patience. Refers me to the margin, which says this is also means endurance or perseverance. Endurance or perseverance. That's what the testing of our faith does, produces patience. Verse number 4, but let patience have its perfect work. We don't think of perfect work when we're going through trials. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This word perfect comes from a Greek word which has the meaning of going towards a given end, to finishing what a person starts out to do. James mentions the word complete in verse number 4, that patience, that you may be perfect and complete. And this word complete from the Greek has a meaning of strengthening a person's character, so that you're fit for the service of God. And he also describes in this phrase, lacking nothing. And from the Greek, the sense is, and it was used in those days, in the defeat of an army. Lacking nothing, like the defeat of an army, going on and conquering whatever you're going through. Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words, with this, describing this word, patience, says, patience grows only in trial. Vine's goes on to say, for this patience, believers are strengthened with all power through God's Spirit in the inward man. And that's a very, very important key right there. Through God's Spirit, we can go forward and conquer whatever trials we're going through with patience. An important key is to seek help from God through His Spirit to develop patience. So we've defined what patience is: enduring, persevering, going forward and conquering whatever trial you're going through. And an important key is to seek God through His Spirit to develop that patience. And as I mentioned in the sermon on Pentecost, just this last Sunday, God would be pleased if we would ask Him, please help me to develop my patience. He would love to hear that from us. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Just a couple pages over. James 5, verse number 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Then he goes on to describe this analogy. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. And a farmer has to be patient to wait for that rain so that his crops will begin to grow and be abundant. Then he says this in verse number 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Patience continued to the end will finish with a reward in the kingdom of God. And that's what we've got to have, that vision, like Abraham, the city with eternal foundations in our forefront. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Let's pick it up in verse number 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope and the glory of God. And not only that, verse number 3, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character, hope. That's what we're building as disciples, is character, strong character. And that's why we go through the trials and the tribulations that we do, to build that character through patience, asking God for that help to develop that patience. Verse number 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And we need to ask God for more of His Spirit so that we can produce that precious character and develop patience the way that He wants us to. Continuing on now as we go through this message, we have to seek after God because He is the source of patience. God is the source of patience. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul in this section of Scripture is contrasting judgmental people of Rome with the patience of God, because unfortunately there were some brethren in the church of Rome who were very judgmental of others. And he's contrasting those judging people with God's patience. Romans chapter 2, verse number 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. In other words, he's saying, you're judging your brother, but you're doing the very same thing. Verse number 2. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things, and were judged by his word. Verse number 3. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those who practice such things, and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Now, verse number 4, and this is what I want to focus on. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? And we can be so very, very thankful that God is long-suffering towards us, that He is patient towards us, because we're human and we make mistakes, don't we? Each and every one of us do. And God is patient with us, very, very patient with us. And because He is so patient and long-suffering, He leads us to repentance, leads us along that way so that we can recognize that we've done wrong and ask for that forgiveness. God is the source of patience for us as disciples. Verse number 4 talks about forbearance and long suffering. The Bible Knowledge Commentary adds this. By not exacting his divine penalty on sinful humanity immediately, God is displaying the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, the purpose being to lead people to repentance. You've heard me talk before about God being patient and long-suffering. It's like he has a slow fuse, a very slow fuse, a very long, long, long fuse. We, as human beings, especially us men sometimes, have very short fuses. And something can come along and boom, you know, we blow up. We lose it right away. Not just us men, but all of us as human beings. Short fuses. But God, he's very, very long-suffering. He has like a long fuse, and you heard me describe. It'd be like it goes all the way around this room, wrapping around this room, maybe going out in the parking lot down the streets of Jacksonville. And maybe it's burning, but it's on a slow burn because he's patient with us. He's the source of patience, and we can be glad that he is. Romans chapter 15, just a couple more scriptures as we, again, shorter sermon today because of the Bible study following. Romans chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. And we're going to be reading today about the example of Moses and what we can learn from him and our great God and what he did for the children of Israel. For whatever things were written before were for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We learn from the Scriptures, and we learn about patience. Then notice verse number 5. Now may the God of patience, because God is the source of patience, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. God is the author of patience in his servants. And the patience of God serves as the source and the pattern of patience that we need to develop as disciples. God is slow to anger and patient toward us, not willing that any of us should perish. Again, the Bible Knowledge Commentary adds this. The steadfast endurance and encouragement a Christian receives from the Scriptures come ultimately from God, the author of the Scriptures and the source of patience. And one final quote before we go to the final scripture from William Barclay from the New Daily Study Bible, he says this, patience is not the spirit which lies down and lets the floods go over it. It is the spirit which meets things head on and overcomes them. Meets those things heads on and overcomes them. With God's help. Finally, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about the examples of the faithful in chapter 11, including Abraham, etc. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The Apostle Paul used the analogy of a long-distance runner, like a marathon runner, and he has to continue on with that goal in mind of finishing the race and not giving up and enduring to the end. Then, verse number 2, here's our focus, so that we can endure. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. All those things that he went through, the terrible beatings and the suffering, was on our behalf. And it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The tremendous reward for going through the things that he suffered. Verse 3. For consider him who endured, and there's that word endured, which equals patience. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. In other words, look to Jesus Christ for that help, because he knows what it is to endure, and he can help us when we have faced our trials, whatever they might be. Our most important goals are worth the wait. People today want everything now. Our entertainment and our society tells us we don't have to wait. You can have it now. But patience is the hardest, when we need it the most. But it is, again, the key to achieving our goals. You and I, we cannot, of our own power and resource, exercise perfect patience. We must look to God for help. He's the source of patience. The Feast of Pentecost, which we just celebrated a few days ago, pictured the Holy Spirit coming to the church. That help that God gives us. God is there for us. We have that help. Brethren, let's ask God for help through the power of the Holy Spirit to grow in patience.